following interviews are from the Sunday showing of pop-up indie developers on the show floor from Indiecade East 2018 at the Museum of the Moving Image. If you're interested in any of these games, info will be in the description and video footage will be available on my YouTube channel. First up, we have an extremely unique adventure game, which is a point-and-click adventure, but I am refraining from using such language as the game really is more than your average point-and-click, including its gorgeous eye-catching British novel art style. It's called Lamplight City.
Okay, so the name of the game is Lamplight City?
That's right.
Can you tell us what the game is about?
Sure. It's a point-and-click detective adventure in which you play a former police detective turned private investigator named Miles Fordham, whose partner is tragically killed, and he starts hearing his voice. And so the overarching story of the game is he's trying to find the man responsible so that his partner's voice can leave. But the game is divided into five cases, which have multiple paths and multiple solutions, and it's possible to be a great detective or a terrible detective, but the game adapts to your choices.
Interesting. So what inspired you to create a game like this?
It kind of came out of the fact, I mean, I really like adventure games. I really like detective games. Like, I've played L.A. Noire and Sherlock Holmes and the Sherlock Holmes games that have come out recently, and I noticed that no matter what you do, like, there's certain choice points in those games, but it seems like no matter what you do, it always kind of guides you towards the right solution. Like, I played L.A. Noire, and it has all the interrogations, and I purposely failed them all, but I was still able to solve all the cases. So I wanted to try making a detective game where it was possible to not get things right, but yet still not punish you for being wrong, just let you continue the experience and change the story based on that.
Interesting. So is it possible to, I don't want to say break the game, but basically end up without a solution at all?
It is, but if you run into a dead-end situation, you declare the case unsolvable and move on to the next one. So narratively, it still continues.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you what would make this game stand out from the others, and I think that kind of just answered it. Where could someone find this game?
So this will be out on Steam. It has a Steam store page right now, so you can check it out and wishlist it if you want. It'll be ported to Mac and iOS in the future. But yeah, initially it'll be out on Steam. For now, I'm pretty sure that's the first platform. That's the one I can confirm right now. But okay. It'll be on PC and Mac and iOS in the future.
Okay, cool. All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have a very arcadey looking game that looks like a mix between Nidhogg and Rocket League. It's definitely one of my top multiplayer picks for the day. It's called Kung Fu Kickball.
Can you describe what this game is about?
Sure, so this game is about Kung Fu fighting and kickball. The object of the game is to kick the ball into your opponent's bell. It's kind of like a cross between Smash Brothers and Rocket League.
Interesting.
I really liked the kind of simplistic controls of Smash Brothers, where you don't have to memorize intricate special moves to pull off all the moves in the game, and I kind of wanted to combine that with some of the wonky flying around action that Rocket League has.
Now we're going to hear about a little project that looked very polished, colorful like cotton candy, and you play using a MIDI keyboard, and your screen's orientation needs to be rotated to the portrait position. You play as a file whose goal is to get uploaded to the cloud. It's called Upload, but replace the O in Upload with a zero.
I knew Alex before I graduated. I knew that he would make things look pretty, and so we wanted to work together for this game specifically.
Sure. So what inspired you to create such a game? We're using a MIDI keyboard.
He kind of just came up to me and was like, hey, I want to use this as a controller. Let's make a game about it. And then we just started spitballing ideas, and this came to mind. And yeah, it's kind of it.
Interesting. Yeah. So could anyone find this game anywhere?
Yeah, actually. You uploaded this on itch.io, right?
Yes. It's available on it.
What was the reason for turning the screen vertically?
We wanted to go up.
Yeah.
Because the whole point was you are...
Verticality.
Yeah. You're transmitting this file to the cloud. So we wanted to keep going up and up and up. And so we decided on a portrait... I was going to say a portrait landscape. But no, that doesn't make sense. Portrait resolution. Right? Yeah, an orientation. Yeah. So when we were showing it...
Emphasize that upness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes complete sense. Wow. Yeah. It's very, very meta.
Thanks.
Okay.
The next game is a two-player airplane shoot 'em up where one player controls the enemy and the other controls the main fighter plane. It's called Cosmic Intruder.
Can you describe this game?
It's a two-player asymmetric co-op competitive shmup. Where one player plays as the alien waves and one player plays as the fighter, trying to destroy the enemy homeworld.
What inspired you to create this game?
I was interested in kind of... I wanted to make kind of a card game, but also we were making shmups in my class. So I wanted to make a two-player game where one player was kind of playing the card game and one player was playing the shmup. And when I tried that out, I found that it looked more like kind of a real-time strategy game or something. And I developed that further, and I basically figured out like what was fun and saw how the interactions were interesting when they got to select where the waves are coming in and how many of them to send and what type and all that kind of stuff.
Will this game be released anywhere?
This will be on itch.io. It's called Cosmic Intruder. My name's Monroe. I'm going to be releasing it. It's just probably going to be free to download with donations.
Next up, we have Zarvot, which is a very special 3D block multiplayer game that has a charming art style. It's slated to come out to Switch sometime this year. Let's hear what the dev had to say.
Can you tell us what this game is about?
It's a local multiplayer cube arena.
What inspired you to create such a game?
Honestly, it was like right after I played Nidhogg, which is like such a good game. And I love Nidhogg, I love it to death. But I'm horrible at side-scrollers, so I just had to make something that, to me, captured the feel of like local multiplayer, except with a top-down.
You know, I'm always looking for games to play with my wife. And, this definitely looks like one of them. I tried playing Nidhogg with her, and no, she couldn't. It was, I don't know, too technical or something.
It's
so.
Nidhogg can get kind of frustrating.
You could get very skilled at it.
Yeah.
And so where could someone find this game?
So Zarvot's coming out for the Nintendo Switch in 2018.
Okay.
No date's announced yet, but it's probably going to be in the middle of the year. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Do you know how much it will retail for?
It won't be $60. That's all I can say.
Okay, good.
Now we're going to look at an extremely polished competitive fighting game that I just might have to say was either my first favorite or second favorite game of the show. The artistic direction is very contemporary and gameplay was engaging. You can currently get this on early access on Steam. It's called Punch Planet.
Can you tell us what this game is basically about?
It's a 2D fighting game. Very in the classic vein, something like what you would see with like old Street Fighter or maybe Mortal Kombat, and it's sci-fi themed, and but the look we're going for is a little more contemporary, like something you would see on like Adult Swim or something like that.
I see that. What inspired the creation of this game?
Well, I play fighting games competitively, so do the other two devs. So we knew we were going to make a fighting game, and then inspiration for the overall look and that was I just grew up really loving late 80s, early 90s sci-fi movies, so this is basically just an homage to all of those in one. Bit of a satire to it.
So probably the toughest question now: what's going to make this game stand out in the whole genre of other games that are coming out that's trying to do similar things?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I would say, on a broad sense, I think just aesthetically, the game, you know, for people who maybe don't play fighting games competitively and they like to collect fighting games or they're just fans of fighting games, I think this is something that they haven't seen before in that regard. And then as far as, like, people who do play competitively, we're just really focusing on high skill level gameplay. Maybe a lot of the games more recently, they're more focused on being a little more accessible or casual. So this is like more for people who want to play competitive.
Now we have an artistic, story-heavy, interact-with-things-in-your-environment game called A Memoir Blue. Let's check it out.
So this is called Memoir Blue. It's abstract narrative games that the player needs to sort of interact with different objects to proceed the levels. And that's basically the game is. Right now he's like playing around with the radio.
So would you say it's kind of like a escape the room type-ish game?
Actually, no. It's more like have you ever played like Ultimate Alphabet or like Windowsill? It's more like those kind of game where you have a lot of things to interact with. It's less puzzle, but more like interactive. But this part is actually very confusing because this... because we just implement this real quick and it feels more like a puzzle instead of an interaction. So this part is something we're going to change later.
What made you guys create this game?
So we originally want to do a narrative game, but we are very tired of how traditionally a narrative game is really heavy on text and there's not much interactive game that leaning on more interaction with narrative. So we want to challenge in this field that actually use abstract interaction to bring player their own narration, so player can create their own story. So that's the purpose of this game.
Here's a game that's based on faith and plant propagation through defeating monsters. It's called Seed. That's spelled C-E-D-E. Seed. Let's hear what the dev had to say.
Can you tell us what the game is about?
Yes. So pretty much, quick synopsis is that there was a conflict that broken up your planet into pieces. And the way that you want to try to bring the planet back together is by defeating monsters, bursting them into seeds to become vegetation. Pretty much when you fill up these wastelands with vegetation, a root will grow out connecting one broken piece to the next.
What inspired the creation of this game?
So a lot of the inspiration came from a few things. So one, our faith. The game is based on Joseph from the book of Genesis. Okay. And pretty much around a time where there was 7 years of famine and he had to grow crops. And then pretty much from there, we decided, okay, let's do something with plants and farming. And then, you know, we started working with, like, okay, what will be fun? Because farming is kind of tedious. So we said, what if you defeat monsters and they turn into your plants and they drop stuff and they harvest, so they fight back monsters. So that's pretty much what we kept, you know, what we went with, and we've just been polishing on the design since then.
Interesting. It has a the blob feel to it almost. So where can someone find this game?
So pretty much you can find this game on our website, barehand.co. Right now what we're gonna do is coming around springtime, pretty much PAX East. We're going to be at PAX East. We'll have a demo there, and then we're going to release a demo online for people to play.
Cool.
So they could find that on our website, barehand.co, and possibly Steam.
Okay. So is it only coming up for Steam so far?
So far, yes.
Okay.
But we hope to get the game onto consoles, and that all just all depending on you know, our finances and our resources at the time, if we're able to do that.
Right. All right, man. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
If you like block-based games like Tetris mixed with real-time strategy games like StarCraft, then you'll want to check out Omino when it releases. It will be out for the iPad and basically any iOS device. Let's hear some more about it.
This game is Omino. It's a real-time strategy game for the iPad that we're working on.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. What inspired the creation of
it?
So one of our big influences was a board game, Blockus.
Yeah,
you played it. yeah, we really liked how that game sort of like the pieces. When you play them, they have like a they have a lot of relevance because of their shape.
They kind of take on this kind of characteristic based on like how they look. You know, pieces may be more aggressive because they have more corners than others, and that's something we just really were intrigued by.
Yeah, and we kind of wanted to like ramp up the strategic aspects of that game. So we kind of took some influence with that and some influence from other like real-time strategy games like StarCraft to make this game. Yeah.
Interesting. So I couldn't help but see when they were controlling the blocks that one finger was on the pad and then the other finger was rotating it.
Yeah.
How did you guys come up with that idea?
To be honest, it was the first thing that we tried.
Yeah,
it just kind of worked.
It was we wanted to have rotation in the game. And then I guess, so this is for our MFA thesis class, and our TA Gabe Cazullo, is it right?
Cazullo,
Cazullo. He basically said, what if you just tap to rotate? Kind of like an offhand thing. And then we tried it, and it just kind of worked.
Yeah, actually our initial digital version of the game wasn't for tablet, it was for like controllers, looking back in retrospect is totally insane. at that point it was going to just be like a button to rotate,
right.
But then once we went to the iPad, it was just like, well, what if you just tapped near it and rotates it?
Yeah.
Okay. So when will this game be released?
I'm not sure yet. We'll definitely be working on it for the rest of our semester, so until May, we'll have like a more complete version of it that we'll be showing at the end of your show
at NYU
in May. But we probably won't be quite releasing it at that point, but hopefully maybe by the end of the year.
Okay. And the end of your show, let me just see if I can remember when that is. It's like in the middle. I think it's May 17th, but you can always visit the NYU Game Center website to figure out when exactly that
is. Yeah, and they'll be showing off all the other thesis games there as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right, thank you guys so much.
Combats was another multiplayer-only game that I really enjoyed. You play as a bat in the dark in a 2D SNES Link to the Past art-style room, split screen with up to four friends. The game is simple to understand, yet unique enough to stand out.
It's pretty much four bats that are inside of a old mansion. They're looking for treasure, but they also run into other bats at the same time. It's the four-player local multiplayer game. And you just want to be the one that has the most points by the end of the round. The story wasn't really much of the high point of it. It was more of like the gameplay. So, and it was also a game jam game, so it kind of made it quickly in a 48-hour time frame.
And what inspired you to create this game? So I know it was a game jam.
Yeah.
So I don't know what was going through your mind at that time that made you create such a thing.
So I was with a group of us, like a team of us of about 5 to 4, and the original idea was since the theme was waves, we needed to create a game on waves. And the first thing we started thinking of was a little bit outside of the box of like what different types of waves we can use. So we started thinking about sound waves, and we started thinking about animals that use sound waves, and bats came to mind. So then we started forming a game around bats and like what they would do, but like in a game sense.
Did fish come to mind any chance, like dolphin or something?
Nah, we thought about it because a lot of people were making surfing games or like some type of like I think Nolan was making a microwave game.
Microwave game. Interesting.
Yeah. Really outside the box. We didn't want to go for ocean because ocean seemed a little bit too easy. So we went for bats instead.
Where could someone find the game?
You can find the game on itch.io. It's not updated. I have the recent build of it and I'm still updating it. But I have that written on the page. I think it's JohnM284 on itch.io. Or if you just look up combats on itch.io, then it'll be up there. The finished version will be popping up probably within the next year or so, because I still have classes to take. So.
Penultimately, we have Terminal Turmoil, which gave me flashbacks of Spy vs. Spy from the NES. It's a four-player game where you have to figure out who's hacking the terminals in a very Where's Waldo crowd. Here it is.
It's an asymmetric local multiplayer game where you play as either a hacker or part of the team of trackers. If you're a hacker, your objective is to hack the terminals that are on the in the rest of the room that are randomly placed. If you're a tracker, you're trying to find the hacker, and that's pretty much the whole basis of the game.
And how did this come to be?
Well, Nolan and I, it's just kind of, I think Nolan originally was going to go for something else. The theme of this game was transmission, so I kind of wanted to make like a hacking transmission type game. And the whole like idea of the hacker came into play. And then we both worked on what it should be and how it should form up. And like by the end of the game jam, it just kind of came out as hackers versus trackers and being asymmetric instead of like equal ground for everybody.
Okay, cool. Is this one on Itch as well? Okay.
If you look up Terminal Turmoil, then it's on Itch. But we have to update it still as well because it was a game jam game. But so far, it's pretty good. You know, the build will work.
Okay. All right, cool. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem.
Finally, we have a game called WIP that caught my attention on its quick 2D fighting artwork, then switching to a top-down RPG style. You can't find this anywhere as yet, but I'll link to the dev on Itch. Here it is.
So, can you tell us what this game is about?
Like, you're like a stick figure guy who like knows he's in a game. You go around, you like talk to people, and then you yell at them a lot of the time in the dialogue. But then you go around, you just go into battles, and you fight people, and then you try to find out what's going on in the world.
Where could someone find this game?
Nowhere. It's not anywhere. It's not on a website or anything.
I don't know. Should I just put it on my Itch?
I mean, yeah, we put on like itch.io would be the only spot where we would put it. It's not up there right now, but.
Okay, so is this slated for release anywhere or anything, or is this completely like?
No, this was a mostly for a school project. So.
Okay. Yeah, it was like a 4-week long project that we worked on it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I hope that you enjoy hearing about some unique indie games. If you like to discover hidden gems like these, be sure to follow the podcast and subscribe to me on YouTube. Until next time, this is iHeartIndie signing out.